This lesson is about building a clean, DJ-friendly drum and bass riser and transition FX system in Ableton Live using stock devices. We're locking this lesson to the FX category, specifically uplifters, tension sweeps, reverse impacts, and drop entry transition design for drum and bass. In a drum and bass track, this technique usually lives in the 8-bar lead-in before a drop, the last 2 bars before a switch-up, or the 1-bar handoff into a fill, breakdown, or res change. These effects are not decoration. They handle energy management, tension, expectation, phrasing clarity, and DJ readability. A strong transition tells the listener exactly where the next section starts. Musically, good effects shape anticipation without stepping on drums, bass, or vocal hooks. Technically, they help you bridge sections while preserving space in a dense, high-energy mix. In drum and bass, that matters more than in slower genres, because the arrangement moves fast and the drum transients are doing a lot of work already. This approach best suits dancefloor, neuro-adjacent, and modern rollers, but the core method translates to liquid too if you soften the tone and reduce aggression. We are not building a bass patch, not designing drums, and not doing a general drop lesson. The entire focus is FX as arrangement tension tools. By the end, you should be able to hear and build a transition package that feels like this. The section lifts naturally, the ear is pulled forward, the final bar feels inevitable, and the drop lands with more authority, because the FX set it up properly rather than cluttering it. You will build a layered drum and bass riser stack, made from stock Ableton tools, plus a reverse impact and a drop entry punctuation hit that work together as one transition system. The finished result should have a bright, controlled top-end sweep, a mid-focused tension layer that grows in urgency, a subtle noise bed for width and glue, a reverse suck-in effect that pulls the listener into the final beat before the drop, and a short impact or transient FX hit to mark the new section. Rhythmically, it should feel like it is tight to the phrase, not free-floating. In drum and bass, that usually means the riser respects 4-bar or 8-bar structure, with the strongest acceleration happening in the last 1 to 2 bars. Its role in the track is not to steal attention. Its job is to increase tension, clarify form, and make the drop hit harder. By the end, it should be polished enough to sit in a draft that already feels release-ready, filtered, gain-controlled, stereo-aware, and arranged with intention. Success looks like this in normal prose. When you mute the FX, the transition feels flatter and less inevitable. When you bring them back in, the energy rises smoothly, the final pre-drop moment tightens, and the drop feels better framed without sounding overcrowded. Start by deciding where the transition lies. In most drum and bass sessions, the most useful place to practice is the 8 bars before the main drop. For example, bars 25 to 32 if your intro and build lead into a bar 33 drop. Create 3 empty audio or MIDI tracks and name them clearly: riser main, reverse pull, and drop impact. Also, create 1 group track called FX Transition Bus and route those 3 tracks into it. This keeps your FX controllable as one system and makes level balancing fast later. Why this matters? FX become messy when they are made in isolation. In drum and bass, transitions are phrase dependent. If you do not decide whether you are building a 1-bar, 2-bar, 4-bar, or 8-bar movement first, you will likely make something overlong, underwhelming, or mistimed. Think of the arrangement like this. Bars 25 to 29 are a subtle lift. Bars 29 to 31 are a clear tension increase. Bars 31 to 32 are the strongest acceleration and pull. Then beat 1 of bar 33 is the impact and clean handoff to the drop. What to listen for is that the FX should feel like they are pointing at a destination, not just getting louder. For a flexible drum and bass riser, start with noise because it layers well and avoids unwanted pitch clashes with your tune. Create a MIDI track on riser main and load operator. Choose the noise waveform. Set the envelope with a short attack, around 10 to 30 milliseconds. Full sustain and a release around 150 to 300 milliseconds. Then add this stock chain, autofilter, saturator, hybrid reverb, and utility. Suggested starting settings are autofilter in high pass mode, with frequency starting around 500 Hz. Set resonance around 15 to 25%. On saturator, use around 2 to 5 dB of drive, with soft clip on if needed. On hybrid reverb, use mostly a bright hall or shimmer style space, with dry wet around 10 to 18%. On utility, set width around 120 to 140%. Now automate the auto filter frequency, so it rises from about 500 Hz to 10 to 14 kHz over 8 bars. Automate utility gain rising very gently, maybe plus 1.5 to plus 3 dB over the full freeze. Increase reverb dry wet slightly in the last two bars, for example from 12% to 20%. Why this works in drum and bass is that noise risers fill upper mid and high frequency tension space without creating key conflicts with bass lines or stabs. Since drum and bass drops depend on clean low-end authority, using mainly filtered noise keeps the transition intense without masking the bass entry. The listening cue is that you want the riser to feel like it is opening upward. If it sounds like static sitting on top of the mix, the filter movement is too weak, or the level is too high. A lot of weak risers are just long washes. Drum and bass responds better when the FX has some relationship to groove and phrasing. Duplicate the main riser track, or create a second layer on the same track with another operator noise source. This one should be shorter and more rhythmic. Use the amp envelope so the sound has a quicker shape. Attack at 1 to 5 milliseconds, decay at 150 to 250 milliseconds, sustain lower, around minus 12 to minus 18 dB equivalent feel, and release at 50 to 100 milliseconds. Program a pulse pattern that increases in density. In bars 25 to 28, place a hit every half bar. In bars 29 to 30, every quarter bar. In bars 31 to 32, every eighth note, or with a short 16th note burst at the very end. Add auto pan and tremolo style use, with phase set to 0 degrees. Set the rate synced around 1/8 or 1/16th, and amount around 20 to 40%. Then high pass this layer harder, with a EQ8 or auto filter, starting around 2 to 4 kHz. Why? This gives the listener a sense of acceleration, without turning up volume alone. In fast music like drum and bass, rhythmic density often communicates tension more effectively than brute loudness. Here's the decision point. Steady 1/8 note pulses feel more dancefloor, more mechanical, and more DJ readable. Sparse pulses that suddenly accelerate in the last bar feel more cinematic, more dramatic, more like a switch is incoming. Choose the steady pulse if your drop is groove-led and simple. Choose the sparse accelerating version if your arrangement has a bigger reveal. Noise alone can feel airy but weak. Add a mid-focused FX layer that says pressure is building. On a new MIDI layer or track, use operator with a simple waveform like saw or square. Keep it high enough to avoid clashing with bass. Start around C3 to C4, or any note that sits outside your lead focus. This is not a melody. It is a controlled synthetic tension tone. Use this chain, auto filter, corpus or resonators only if used very subtly. Saturator, echo and EQ8. Practical settings are a high pass on auto filter around 700 Hz moving to 2 kHz. Set saturator drive to 3 to 6 dB. Use echo with very short sync timing, maybe 1/8 or 1/16th, with feedback at 10 to 20% and dry wet at 8 to 15%. On EQ8, cut a little around 2.5 to 4 kHz if it gets harsh. Automate the pitch upward very slightly in the last two bars, maybe plus 3 to plus 7 semitones total, or automate filter resonance upward instead if the pitch feels too obvious. What to listen for is nervousness and urgency, not a lead sound. If you can hum it like a melody, it is probably too tonal and too loud. Now build the moment that glues the final beat before the drop to the drop itself. Find or create a short impact-like source. This can be a noise burst, a cymbal-like hit, a short synthetic stab, or a resampled tail from your riser bus. Place it on the reverse pull track, consolidate if needed, then reverse the audio clip. Position the reverse tail so it ends exactly on the final pre-drop beat, usually the 4 of bar 32 if you want the drop on bar 33 beat 1, or the end before beat 1 for a tighter, more abrupt feel. Process it with EQ8, high passing around 200 to 350 Hz. Use reverb printed or hybrid reverb before reversing if you want a longer suck in. Automate utility width from 140% down to 90 to 100% right before the drop for a tightening effect. Use volume automation rising naturally into the endpoint. This reverse element is incredibly effective in drum and bass because it creates a vacuum effect. It momentarily steals air before the drop restores impact. If the reverse feels lazy or late, trim the clip start and move the end point so the loudest suction moment happens just before beat 1, not on it. In drum and bass, even a slightly mistimed reverse can make the drop feel soft. Your riser and reverse create tension. Now you need a very short we arrived signal. On drop impact, layer two things, a short transient or noise hit and a wider reverb tail or tonal wash behind it. You can make this from stock tools by sampling your own noise burst or resampling the riser tail. Then process it in two layers. For layer 1, the transient front, Use EQ8 with a high pass around 120 to 180 Hz. Add saturator with 2 to 4 dB of drive. Use a very short envelope or clip fade. Keep it mono-ish with utility width at 0 to 60%. For layer 2, the tail, use hybrid reverb with dry wet at 20 to 35%. Use a longer decay around 1.5 to 3.5 seconds. Set utility width wider, around 130 to 160%. Add a low cut around 250 to 400 Hz. This is one of the most useful stock device chains in this lesson, because it gives you a focused center hit plus stereo atmosphere, which is ideal for drum and bass drops. The center says new section. The sides say size. Important context check. If your drop already begins with a huge crash, vocal, or stab, your impact should be smaller. Transition effects must support the drop, not fight it.